Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 160. This is part two, Knowing Yourself. Today is Sunday, August 15th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because there are no boundaries. Located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also shop Pastor Paul's mall online if you're living in the Southwest United States at Vons.com. So you can pick up some groceries through Pastor Paul's mall at Vons.com. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links to Pastor Paul's messages. You're going to be joining us two times a week minimum for Pastor Paul's podcast. Part one is always on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. That's the conclusion to his message. Also, join the Twitter Rumble, which is on Thursday. I am doing live tweets as I record Pastor Paul's pre-recorded message. So lots happening at pastorpaul.org. This month, the messages are the following. Deliver me from lying lips. Knowing yourself, halfway never makes it, can we boast of tomorrow? Great messages, timely messages. Join us here every week. Have a great month of August. God bless you.
I talked about it Friday and I'll minister it again here today. I think it's important. A woman called me up.
Why is it? And I don't mean to throw stones. Why is it, brother, that you get along so well with the world? You're on TV and the radio and the newspapers and everything. Why is it?
Well, I says, I don't judge them. The Bible says, judge not the world, for they are already under judgment. I'm not in a fight with the world. I'm in a fight with the devil. Furthermore, sister, I've had more complaints out of Christians than I have the world. Good day, I'm serving now. It's the way it is, isn't it? But in the end, whoa, God is going to raise up those people. And either you're a light and a testimony and they want to get in on what you're doing, or you're a, you know, crusader rabbit. A little rabbit with a little halo around the top of your head. Oh, that's worldly. This is it. So on. There's so much worldliness in the church. What's the difference? Some of the most meanest, hellish things come right out of the church. Well, I never thought of it that way. Well, think of it that way. Think about it. Please think about it. It's a bad testimony, and it's a bad report, isn't it? Here's the world out there. We are the world. We are the people, huh? And all these people that everybody says is all, you know, nothing, raising $40 million and going to $60 million for the poor. God says, I'm going to raise these folks up. You can't be raised. You're too dead. See, the world isn't sleeping. At night, they're out there. Night crew, we want these girders up. They got to go up or we're going to be fined. $5,000 an hour. Get those up or you lose your job and this whole crew is going to be wiped out. Okay. And you can hear them out there. Burk, 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 bam, 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 burk, burk. Huh? Now, you better believe, eh? You're going to get that building up, aren't you? How you doing up there on the 30th floor? Send up another bucket of bolts. Okay. What time are we going to quit? When we're done, fool, when we're done. That's simple, ain't it? That's my kind of talk. And if people want to call it worldly, go ahead on. But how do you get the job done? By doing it. And doing it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And they're doing it for pay. And we're doing it for far better riches in heaven. Our rewards are in heaven. Do we believe it? How are we doing up on top of the 30th floor? Are we going to ask? No. We're going to all come. Fellowship time. You try that on your job.
Lord, is it your will that I help, Lord?
You aren't going to say that on your job. Boss, is it your will that I go to work? Let me know. What? Get out there and get to work. See how unrealistic it is? Well, maybe this is too realistic. Maybe this isn't worldly enough. You're listening on the radio. Not worldly enough. Polish it up a bit, Paul. I mean, you've offended people. Lord knows. Huh? Good. I hope I offend you enough to get out and do something. And stop making these habitually bad excuses. Listening on the radio and to this tape. Right? you don't do that when you go out to your job. You don't do that. We got this $40,000 worth of carpet going into this large building. Is it your will, sir, that we lay it? Tell us, please do. And we'll lay it right after we have fellowship and singing. How many are hearing this? God. Reality is what we need, isn't it? Isn't that real? Maybe that's too real. See, you're in the world, you're not of it, but you better start relating a little bit, sitting with sinners a little bit, working out some of the problems that they have a little bit. Do denying ourselves a little bit, stop worrying about a place that we're going to lay our head, and God, the maker of the whole universe, shouldn't have a place to lay his head at all. And he says, who's my mother, and who's my father, and who's my brother? Tell me. This is a spiritual thing that I'm in. Yeah. Now that's the way it is, isn't it? Many trials and many tribulations got to come so that we can fully understand, be educated in the house of God, so that we can be artful in sympathy with people. I'm going to put an ad in the paper. I'm going to put this ad in like this. Help wanted must have the following experiences. Life churchgoers, born again at age 3. We also need the drunks and the drug addicts and the murderers and homosexuals and lesbians and murderers and adulterers. And we need y'all. Come as you are. Without a plea. Don't cop a plea. Just come as you are. And to be willing to learn and accept the captain of your new life, Jesus Christ. Come on in. Are you hearing this? Oh, but what are the benefits, sir? Oh, well, I'll give you some benefits. Peace and joy and a new spirit and a changed heart and a new mind and eternal life. If you go ahead and really, sincerely give your life to Christ. And I expect you then to return to witness, to go to church, Jesus says. And to love me and to be willing to die. Oh, but what do you mean by dying, Lord? Dying to everything you love. Because if relation to me, if you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister, whatever, you don't hate them in relation to your love to me, you cannot be my disciple. Well, I don't understand that kind of love. It's fanatical. It's saying that I'm asking you to love me first and seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add on these things to you. I'm going to ask you to go out and sympathize with your kind of fish. Peter, do you love me more than these? Your kind of fish, the bullheads and the carp and the sunnies and the largemouth bass and the kingfish and the goldfish and the tuna and the salmon, whatever school you come from. Swim, little fish, swim, and get back in there and do a witness and turn them around. And then you also must have a very strong stomach, for I will reveal one of the worst horror flicks you've ever seen in your whole life. What is that? Well, it's called the movie You. And after that you've seen it in part, you're going to want to change. But another lesson we learn, we all need sympathy, don't we? And listen, it's impossible for us to get it from one another. All we can do is, oh, I really feel bad. When someone dies, you know what I mean? Well, we mean well, but we know it sounds shallow too, don't we? We know it does. Oh, so sorry to hear about your mother's death or your father's death. But, I mean, really, I mean, let's face it, we're not really sorry about what we can't. I mean, it's not that we're mean or anything, but we really can't be sorry for it. Now, if your mother or your father has died, well, then you can kind of relate. You can kind of say, yeah, that is really hard. But you'll overcome and you'll get over it. I know I did. But you really can't feel at that particular instance what they're feeling. Aren't you glad? Everybody else is going by and they have a deep down inside moan, and then all of a sudden you pick up on them and they're going, oh, and they're not saying it, but they're moaning, and all of a sudden you find yourself, oh. You know what I mean? In part, you can pick up off of atmospheres, but isn't that good that you're a separate, protected person there? You know what I mean? That you're an individual? That you have to make separate decisions for your own life according to the Word and according to what God is going to give you? Only Jesus can enter the closet that holds your skeleton See, because you know why? He's the only one that has the skeleton key. Everybody's got a skeleton in their closet. Oh, sure, but the closet's on the inside of you. See, Jesus knows your grief like no one else knows your grief, and He alone, the Bible says, can intermeddle with our joy. And only Jesus can give you true joy, joy that's unspeakable and full of plenty, and you don't know where it came from, but you know it's the joy of the Lord because it's bubbling out. Joy, the Bible says, unspeakable and full of plenty. See, because it must be a personal relationship. And knowing this, how can we be quiet about Jesus Christ? How can you be quiet when you have the answer? While others are struggling with sin, while others are struggling with depression, while others are struggling with lonesomeness, maybe God will say, back off, I've got someone else to come in there, or maybe God will say, go ahead, but be open to the Spirit. You see, we have the answer, and the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, the heart knoweth its own bitterness, and I think this is true of any man. You all have shoes on today, and the only one, listen, if you got one that's pinching, a shoe that's pinching your foot, you're the only one that knows that. You can screw up your face all you want to. Nobody can sympathize with you. You got to take off your own shoe and rub your own bunions. We do not know the other person at all. Well, we can sympathize when we go through that experience. Oh, these shoes. Oh, they're killing my feet. Oh, I had a pair like that. Where'd you buy them? Well, I bought them down there at Cheapy Shoes. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I understand. I bought a pair there, too. How many are hearing this? By an experience, you can know that person in part, but you can't know them in entirety. He may need more pity than the sad-faced fellow. Because his heart knows his own bitterness. And don't try to get into someone's hidden sorrows. What's wrong? And you try to crawl into their sorrows. What's wrong? People almost try to crawl in on someone else's sorrows. What's wrong? They try to crawl. You can't crawl in on somebody's sorrows. I want to know. I want to relate. You can't. Though I would like to think we can crawl in there, become God. You may even increase that person's bitternesses. Leave alone what you cannot relieve. Lend an ear and listen. Allow people to vent their anger, even directly at you. If it will heal them, let them vent every damnable anger that they have, every slanderous notion that they have, and let them vent it until it's all gone. Even if it's directly at you, bear the burden. See, when you're a listener, you don't always hear what you want to hear. Is that right? Because these spiritual burdens can only be carried by the person. You can't divide the grief. When a heart is full of bitterness, you cannot drink of that. You can probably drink of the bitter cup. Will it do any good? Here, let me drink of some of that. Here, give it to me. No, this is that person's particular cup. You can't drink of the cup of Jesus Christ. That was all of Christ doing the whole job. You can't drink of it. And you can't drink of another person's cup. Oh, you can drink of it, but it won't do him any good. Here, let me share. Let me share your grief. It won't do any good. It won't mean a thing to you. When someone is wounded, to wound yourself, it won't help. Oh, I see you got your finger cut off. I want to relate. Huh? You hold your finger out there and you swing a knife and chop it off. Now I know how it feels, brother. Now are you satisfied? I really care.
I took on the burden. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Well, I think the trouble is, people, when we don't get a response we expect, we judge. Hey, I cut off my finger for this fella. I mean, and what does he say? Boy, that was dumb. Then he says, just go away and leave me alone and clean up the blood before you go. People, they don't appreciate nothing. God didn't ask you to do that. Sometimes people think you should cut off your fingers because somebody else cut off their finger, and it ain't got nothing to do with it whatsoever. God's putting them through a thing. Let them go through. Listen and take your knocks. Guy told me the other day, well, fools make mock of sin. I said, that's right. Simply because they want to hide. They want to hide their fear and doubt and uneasiness that they're carrying around themselves. And I thought, why do they sneer at the truth? Why do they see evil things about Jesus Christ, and why do they persecute godly people? Simply because these good things are a protest against their evil condition. When people attack you on your job, they're attacking you because of their evil condition. It's a protest against it. It's sort of like you are salt in their wound. Well, anyway, that salt that you're letting out, the Bible says be salt and be light, and that salt that you let out, it might kind of smart with them at first, but it'll work a healing on them later on. Salt has a healing thing to it. I thought to myself, why do people whistle in the dark? Why do people say, I am an atheist? Why do infidels big mouth it as if they, it's an attempt to cover up their fears. I'm never afraid to go ahead and approach them with the gospel, because one thing they know, and they know this if they know anything, the heart knoweth its own bitternesses. And so anyway, in closing up this message, all you loud talkers listening, all you denying Jesus Christ as personal Savior, this makes me know that you are fearful. You know your own bitternesses. Go ahead then and just simply cry and accept Jesus Christ as your... Oh, well, how about the backsliders? I hear somebody say over the radio. How about those that have already received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? The heart knoweth its own bitternesses. You don't have to tell the person. You're backsliding. They know. In the same proverb, and I'll close it up, verse 14, we read, the backslider's heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Don't you ever believe for one moment that the backslider is happy, because if you believe that, then you're the next likely candidate yourself. They are miserable, they are suspicious, they are flaky, they are insecure, and they are very touchy people. But anyway, concerning the tribe believer, this is true. Some who are developed in grace can take a heavier load on and plow more ground than others. The heart knows sweetness, and I got to end it up with this, which is all its own, joy of pardoned sin. Nobody can share in that joy that you have for that. Remember the first time you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you explain that joy that you had? Someone came up and said, okay, explain in your own way what's happened to you. Well, you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to jump and shout and praise and cry and tell all your friends, and I'd have to speak in tongues, and I'd have to go through the whole thing. And they still wouldn't understand. They'd say, well, hey, I don't want to get like that. I remember when I first got saved, I smiled until my face hurt because I wasn't used to smiling. My face actually hurt. And in proportion as you were burdened before, you will feel the bliss of rest. Oh, God, I was so burdened and so nervous and so drunken and so perverted that when I had the rest, I thought, my God, this is heavenly. Truly, I thought to myself, a stranger cannot enter into my joy. No one would understand the bliss of the defeated evil. Here I've gone through the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh's horses and riders have been drowned in the sea, and I'm free. The riders of booze were drowned, and the riders of lust, and the riders of anger and hate and suicide were drowned. And the joy I had a perfect reconciliation, the prodigal son returning, oh God. To know the sweetness, oh yeah, but you got to taste the sugar first, don't you? The joy of accepted service, when Jesus accepted me as a servant. Come forth. Be like Abraham and his son Isaac coming off of Mount Moriah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The joy of answered prayer, Elijah on Mount Carmel, Elijah, an old man who outran Ahab's chariot. No, I remember when my first prayer was answered. Wow, God answers prayer, and the joy of usefulness. Now finally, I'm worth something. Finally, I got involved and I went out soul winning. The joy of peace in troubled times, you know, when someone dies in your family. Peace in the middle of slander. Psalm 64 and 3 says like this, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Let this go out as a warning. Who whet their tongue like a sword. Slander has ever been the master weapon of the good man's enemies. Hear it. And great is the care of the malicious to use it very effectively. It says in this verse, as warriors grind their swords to cut deep the wound and wound desperately, so do the unscrupulous, and it's happening in every church that calls me. They invent their falsehoods, which are calculated to inflict pain, to stab your reputation, to kill honor and good works. And what is there anyway that the evil tongue will not say? What misery will it not labor to inflict? And then it goes on, and bind their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words from far off and from ambush. They shoot their arrows, and they'll be coming, and they'll be stabbing you in the backside. I'll tell you right now, that's the way it's going to be in the end. Evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. I tell you, they do it so studiously with such great force, they prepare their speech. And that's what it means by bended bows. They prepare and they wax up their bow and they get all ready. And then with a very cool sting, they let fly to inflict what? Anguish. To destroy is their one design through insult and sarcasm and taunting and defiance and nicknaming, and then they practice all this. However, praise God, in all cases, listen to it, fly to the Lord for help like David. Our defense is faith in God, joy in communion with God. And it's so wonderful to feel His presence and to hear His voice, to smell His fragrance, to become weak with bliss, and to know the warm feeling inside of knowing Jesus, someone that really knows what's going on. Someone that can intermeddle with the joy and bring you to the full joy, hallelujah. It takes an intermingling. It takes the new wine of the Spirit to give you any kind of joy. And to sing to the Lord a new song. Are you listening to me out there today and that you're bitter? And do you need joy? Only Jesus can intermeddle. The heart knoweth his bitterness, and the stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. God is no stranger to you. The Bible says that He knew you before the foundation of the world was even found. Now, maybe you're in a siege of backflight. Maybe you get off work and you go out and you secretly booze. I don't know. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Well, there's an answer, and there's a forgiveness for you. And there's one that understands. So stop hiding. Go to Jesus with the problem. He's the answer. Don't worry about it. When people in the end say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, great is your reward in heaven. Say amen, somebody. Well, you say, I must have a whole lot of rewards up there. Well, hey, what are you bawling about then? Press on. towards the high mark, the calling in Christ, and don't you worry about people. My God, they're always going to have something to say. That's the way we're made. Say amen. We're always going to have something to gripe and fuss about. Wow, we will, huh? But there is a turning, and there is a joy, and there's a uniting, and there's a separation between sheep and goats, and God is calling a people out of a people. What does that mean? Calling a people out of a people. Well, you're going to be called out of people. You listening on the radio. There are people being called out of a people. How dedicated are you? What is your first foremost thought in your walk towards heaven? Well, I think we need to get that straight in our own mind and stop hedging things, because the only one that God is going to deal with, brothers and sisters, is you as an individual, nobody else. He doesn't do things secondhand. He will not minister through you to that person. I mean about their own particular difficulties and their own particular, he might use you. But in the end, the author and finisher of your faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a comfort to know that? That someone else is not going to author what's going to happen to you, and that nobody really knows you. You know what I mean? And you know your own bitternesses, and you know that God is the only one that can intermeddle with your joy. Why is that? It is a fine line. And it's an individual person. I mean, every thumbprint, every fingerprint, every hair of your head, every molecule of your body is separate, and there is no one like you. You don't even have the same stink. Dogs, they can smell your clothing, and there's not one smell like you. Think about that. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody stinks like you. Huh? That's kind of a humbling thought, isn't it? But it is a thought, and I'll tell you right now, God is calling on people from all over. And either you're going to be dedicated to the cause or you're not going to be dedicated. Well, you know, some are going to be hot, cold, some are going to be lukewarm. I hate to be in a foxhole with a lukewarm person. Oh, my. But on the other hand, if a guy is ice cold, I say, do you mind if I stand on your back while I shoot? So I get, you know what I mean? I know where he's at. And then again, he might turn red hot. But the lukewarmer, you never know what they are going to do. Never. They can turn on you in a minute. Oh, and all hell breaks loose. They turn in a minute, and they are, where'd he go? And you got your back turned, and you get shot. Oh, God, no. No, no. Either be red hot or ice cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's what the Bible says. Okay, is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody?